Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Let's get into our daily focus for today. We do have the good pastor on the line. I'm hoping the pastor can hear me. Footis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Yes.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, viewers.
Good afternoon, Footis. How are you today?
Very well.
Lovely. Lovely. Thank you very much, Mfundisi, for taking our call. Today, we're talking about the power of parables. Not quite sure how to put this, but there is supposedly power in parables. Bible stories have endured for generations, and they're perfect for planting seeds of wisdom in young hearts, we're told. So let's explore the power of parables and how they can guide children in a world full of different kinds of choices. How can parables be used in Fundis to teach kids moral lessons in a way that sticks to them?
Thank you so much. I think it's a very, very fundamental subject that we are having today. Parables are very, very important. Even Jesus in the Bible, much of his teachings, he used parables. You realize that the human mind learns from what is known to what is unknown.
Okay.
And once you make principles that are not known relatable to what is known, they stick better. So let children also be taught using parables.
Right.
And these parables are actually fun. They make the learning experience much more fun.
Right.
Let parents be able to select a story, adjust the story to make it applicable to the age group concerned, so that children will be able to follow. This is why the movie industry is thriving. This is why cartoons are topping the list on our kids' favorite things to do. Because they are stories that are exciting, that are easy to relate to. Let these be used to teach Bible principles from a tender age.
I see. So what are some of the favorite Bible stories that emphasize kindness, that emphasize honesty and courage, for example, in Fundis?
The Bible is full of parables. You know, the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
The Bible talks about it's a journey. You can rephrase it such that there is minimum violence to the young mind.
Okay.
So when the robbers hit that man, but talk about the Samaritan.
Mm.
You know, who came in to help the man, a Jew, for that matter.
Right.
It's a parable that teaches young people to shun discrimination from a tender age. Let people be appreciated not because of what they are on the inside, on the outside,
right,
but what they are on the outside.
Right.
But what they are on the inside, rather.
Right. I hear you.
So talk about the parable of the lost coin, her diligence. The woman who looks for money, looks for coins.
Right.
Kids love coins. Yeah?
Okay.
Kids love coins a lot. Let those coins that they love be translated into a biblical principle. Hard work until she finds it.
Right.
Talk about the parable of the talents. People are given, some are given five, some four. Those are nice parables because it's about being given.
Mm.
It's love to be, to receive.
Okay.
Yeah. And then in the context of that a point of interest, then a biblical principle can be introduced.
So you're talking about adapting these parables so that they fit the age group of the children. How do you do that, Mfundisi? How can we adapt parables to help kids face today's social challenges?
Yes. In the Master Guide curriculum, one of the owners at our disposal is a storytelling owner. And one of the principles of storytelling, it's modifying a story. Once a story has been outlined, once a story is now known, you modify it so that it suits the audience. For example, the parable of the prodigal son talks about a person spending money in and out in a faraway place. But to babies, you know, you want to explain wasting in the context of what they can understand. You see? Whereas older children can understand that money was spent buying this and that, you know, not even doing that, okay. But to little ones, you want to bring out the principle of wasting, the principle of wasting in the parable of the prodigal son. And then repentance, the principle of saying I'm sorry after wasting. So that certainly can be modified so that it's applicable and relevant to the age classification that constitutes our audience.
So I, at this point, I need to just clarify, because our listeners may not necessarily know what you're talking about, Mfundisi. When we're talking about the Master Guide program, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has got a series of lessons we teach. I don't know if there's something is making noise on your side, Mfundisi.
Oh, there's noise. Let me just try to... Is it better now?
Yeah, I think that's much better. Much better, Mfundisi. So I was just clarifying this. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has got a series of lessons it teaches our young people from the age of six. We have those age groups up until the age of 12, if I'm not mistaken. We call those young people who are taught these lessons adventurers. And from the age of 13 up until the age of 18, if I'm not mistaken, we call those young people pathfinders. And once they have... It's akin to Boy Scouts and Girl Guides, but religiously oriented lessons of survival and understanding the world in which we live. And then we have those who are now taught to be teachers to others, and those are called Master Guides. And now recently, a couple of years, five, 6 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, I remember we were introducing it to our church, the other lessons now about the young people who are going to be getting a certificate beyond that. That's right. That's right. So those are
You are right. So 0 to 5 are the the smaller ones, and then 6 to 9 these are the adventurers, and it's the same Bible lesson, but customized to suit what they can swallow at that stage.
Right.
From 10 to 15 those are pathfinders. From 16 to upwards to 21, I think that's the ambassadors. 21 upwards is a senior. So these are the same Bible, is the same truth, but it's being put into correct doses so that people at certain ages can swallow. It's still the parable of the prodigal son, but it has been made to be adaptable, to be chewable in terms of what they've been exposed to at that particular stage. So the same should happen as parents are teaching parables to their children. Let them spend time understanding them. Let them spend time trying to understand them. They shouldn't be too long. You know, there are some parables that are very long in the Bible if you're reading it as a text.
Okay.
But the memory span of children is not that long.
Right.
If they listen for 10, 15 minutes, they're already off.
Yeah.
So it's modifying the story involves adapting it, simplifying it, summarizing it, so that you can say it in a short time without missing the key principles that are coming from it.
So the reason why I went into the exercise of clarifying what we're talking about the Master Guide curriculum that teaches people how to adapt lessons, is that the people that we're talking to right now on this radio station have not gone through the Pathfinder curriculum or the Master Guide training for that matter. Hence the question, how would you guide these people who are listening to us now? Since they have not been trained as Master Guides, how do they do it? How do they adapt these lessons?
So the invitation is open to all. The total fee for enrolling for a Master Guide course is zero. If you visit any Seventh-day Adventist church and find the youth minister's director, they will be able to usher you into lessons that equip people to do better parenting. Your viewers, including those listening at home, they are also welcome to visit the church and get these resources. However, we also have lots of resources available online on the GC website, on the local conference website. These resources are also there to help parents navigate the challenges of parenting without necessarily going through the hassles of misrepresenting the principles in the Bible.
In what ways can parents make Bible stories fun now, Mfundisi? Get the understanding of making them adaptable. How do we make them fun?
Awesome. Good question. That's early this year in March, I had the privilege of going to preach in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is near America. And when it was children's time, the lady who stood up had illustrations. She was doing gestures. She was changing the tone, making it more exciting. You could hear the kids giggle, where the point is a bit funny. They had objects. If you are talking about a fruit, the fruits of the spirit, they've got bananas, they've mango. Already, when you bring a banana and an orange before a kid, they're already smiling. And then you bring out the principle of the fruits of the spirit, doing gestures, making it more practical. and making it more exciting. It makes Bible stories the favorite portion of the child's day calendar.
And finally, Mfundisi, how does storytelling build a lasting faith foundation in children?
Stories have a wonderful way of speaking. People remember better when stories are being told. They are easy to relate. So they create a very, very strong memory. People remember the principles. People remember the principles without a problem. And they'll be able to recall these principles when life experiences need them to apply them the most. Even in our African culture, we used to have storytelling. In this part of the country, in Zimbabwe, it's called Ngano. Children would gather around the fire, and they'll be told a story that brings out principles. So biblical storytelling sticks, and it's easy to relate, and it makes people apply these principles in real-life applications.
All right. That's it for today, Mfundisi. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day further. We'll pick it up again once again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless you to all the listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.